Peace of Christ be with you. Our scripture this evening comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God from age to age, for wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons, deposes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what it is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my ancestors, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power, and have now revealed to me what we have asked of you. For you have revealed to us what the king ordered." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are at the culmination of a few wonderful days at Hope College where we have enjoyed the Veritas Forum with the theme Crisis and Courage, Embracing a Costly Discipleship. We've had an opportunity to listen to some student papers, hear from world-class thinkers and preachers, and tonight is no exception as we welcome back to the pulpit of Hope a rare and unique gift. A person who has taken quite literally Jesus' charge to deny oneself, to take up his cross, and to follow Jesus. There are many things I could say about tonight's preacher. How he has been instrumental in works of reconciliation between conflicting groups. How he's been willing to put himself in harm's way for his people. How he has been willing to baptize and to offer the body and the blood of Christ in one of the most dangerous settings in the world. But I think the most fitting way to introduce the Reverend Canon Dr. Andrew White is to simply say this. He loves Jesus, and he wants you to love Jesus. He's a man after God's own heart, and would you please welcome back to our pulpit our new friend, Dr. White.
Well, thank you very much for that really heartwarming introduction. And it's very good to be back with you again. And the more I'm here, the more I love this place. In fact, I was told off today that I loved it too much. I won't tell you what else I was told, but next time maybe. Lord, come in your power amongst us. We thank you that you are here and your spirit is with us. Amen. I want to look this evening at that passage from Daniel, which was just read to us. I don't want to look specifically at Daniel in the lion's den, because I hope you learned all about that when you were five. We're going to be a little bit older today. Daniel had no intention to end up in Babylon. When he was growing up, he didn't think to himself, well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a prophetic figure in Babylon. No, he wanted to be a priest in Jerusalem. But Nebuchadnezzar had another idea. His idea was, I want to expand my kingdom of Babylon And I want to expand it down to Jerusalem. So I'm going down there, and we're going to capture those evil Jews and bring them back with us. So he did that. He got the Assyrians and others to go off down, and they captured the people of Israel, and they brought them back to Babylon. But he also brought back some tricky figures, like Daniel, Ezekiel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And little did he know, there was no way he could win with them. And one night, Nebuchadnezzar started having difficult dreams. And he called upon his wise men to come and answer those dreams. And his magicians and his astrologers, and they couldn't do it. They were no good. So, Daniel, he got a little concerned about this because Nebuchadnezzar had already said, right, all the wise men must be killed. They can't answer my dream. Kill them. What do you do when somebody can't answer your dream? Well, he was probably a little bit nastier than most hope people. And Daniel was a bit concerned about this. He went to the guy who was in charge of killing them, Arioch, and he said, give me a chance. Let me ask God. And ask God if he can tell me what the dream of the king was. And so Daniel started his new profession as a dream teller. And he was rather good at it. Because there he was at night, asleep, and God revealed it to him. And that was the reading we had this evening of Daniel praising the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. You see, there are times when we often do not know what to do. We don't know what the answers are. We don't know what to say. And God says, I will reveal myself to you. Now, I know that there are lots of times when you don't know what to say in essays. It's not about that. In essays, you've got to learn your stuff. But in lots of things, God will reveal to you. People say to me, how is it that you are so positive about life all the time when people are trying to kill you and rockets are coming over? And I say it because I'm not at theological college anymore. And we don't think about these things, we just have to do them. But we do them with Jesus next to us. Because our God never leaves us. He is always beside us. And I can tell you something. If God is there, you can do anything. For me, I might be in one of the most difficult cities in the world. I might be in one of the most dangerous church parishes in the world. But I can honestly say, I love it. Because I'm not on my own. Jesus is with me all day, every day. And Daniel knew that he could translate or interpret the king's dreams because God was with him. But notice what he did. He went to his friends first, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he asked them to pray as well. And all of us need each other, and we need to go to each other and say, pray for me, help me, stand with me. I need God with me now. One day, I was at church with our young people, and I said, as it was nearly Christmas, I'm going to tell you about Bethlehem today. And Jesus first came to Bethlehem. I used to live there. And it's very important to know about where Jesus first came. Little boy, put his hand up, Yusuf. Jesus didn't first go to Bethlehem. I said, no, didn't he? I said, where did he go? Here. What do you mean? You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the flames? There was somebody else with them. And the king said they were walking around and he looked like the Son of God. He didn't say all of that, but that was what he was implying. That Jesus first came to Babylon down the road. So whenever you sing O Little Town of Bethlehem again, remember Jesus first came to Babylon. So Daniel gets his friends to pray for him. And Daniel gets this word from the Lord at night. And Daniel goes to the king and says, I've got the answer. I'll tell you what your dream was all about. So he did. And the king was rather taken by it and made him the most important man in the land. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got good jobs as well. They were made like ministers. But the wonderful thing is that years before, 150 years before, Isaiah had prophesied what would happen. He had prophesied that Babylon would be destroyed. Isaiah 44, verse 27. Who says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams? Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, I will accomplish all that I please? He will say, Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt, and of the temple, let its foundations be laid. Now, that's significant for one reason. Cyrus wasn't born then. That was 150 years before Cyrus was born. Cyrus became the leader of Persia. He took over Babylon. He was the one who allowed the Jews to return to Israel. And he wasn't even born. Isn't that amazing that the Bible talks to us of Cyrus when he wasn't even around? God will talk to you miraculously as well. The only reason we can do our work is because God speaks to us miraculously. And God is directing us miraculously. Just like he did in Daniel's dream, so he will to us. I know you might think it's strange. Look, I'm just a student at Hope. Why does God want to talk to me? God doesn't just talk to us about big things, but little things as well. All the time, ask and let God answer. I remember when I was at Vicar Factory, you know, where you walk in normal and you walk out like this. Well, when I was at Vicar Factory at Cambridge, there was a lady, the real Cambridge, not the pretend one. Whenever I'm lecturing at Harvard, I tell them, don't forget, this is the pretend one. Anyway, this lady, we used to have a lady who used to teach us how to pray. And she always used to teach us, we have to ask God for things. And each week she would meet with us. She was quite a frightening lady. The second most frightening lady I've ever met. What did you pray for this week? And when did you get it? Lobotide you if you didn't. Our prayers might seem very simple, but it's very good for us to say to ourselves, when did we pray for this? And when did it actually happen? Today, I prayed for two things this morning. You know, I've got my daughter Lena with me, and she's doing theology and philosophy in Babylon College, Babylon once again. And she was not enjoying her doing her essays, just like none of us do. And I prayed, Lord, help her to do her essays. She came running into me this afternoon. I'm done. Now, my other prayer was I wanted my other daughter. I've got two adopted daughters, Fuller and Lena. I wanted the other one to come here today. And I looked into planes this morning. She's only in Chicago. She used to be in Baghdad with us before she ran away and left us. There was no way I could sort out a plane or thing. But after I got up here, now she turned up. There she is. So God is rather good at dealing with prayers. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Ask. And thank him when you get the answer. It's amazing how easy it is for people to forget to say thank you when he's given you the answer. Sometimes it's even difficult to know when he has answered. I was saying this to some of you the other day. I don't know who, don't know where, don't know when. But I said, I went to one of the Ayatollahs one day, and the Ayatollah said, Padre, can you give me some meat? I said, how much do you need? He said, it's Eid. I need it for the whole of the country. I had $12 in my pocket. I said, can't get you enough meat with that. Oh, he said, pray about it. When an Ayatollah told you to pray, you do. So I had been reading through the whole book of Ezekiel that night, so I had a lot to pray about. And then at the end of it, I said, oh yes, Lord, give me some meat. Amen. I came down to breakfast the next morning. A big American man comes up to me. Hey, Father, want some meat? I said, what do you mean, do you want some meat? He said, well, you're helping the people of Iraq. Do you want some meat? I said, yes, give me some meat. So I then returned to my normal language and profile. And I said, how much meat is there? Oh, he said, I think it's 143,000 tons. I said, 143,000 tons. How on earth do I get that around? He said, I've got all the lorries to take it round. I did not realize that God had answered my prayer. It was too big. If somebody had brought me a few pieces of beef and lamb chops, I would have thought it was sufficient. But meat for everybody. I eventually ended up living next door to this man who gave me the meat. I then called him Andy the Meat Man. And one day I said to the meat man, I said, where did that meat come from? Oh, he said, it was meant for the American army, weren't it, mate? I said, it was meant for who? The American army, for 6 months. So thank you very much, American taxpayers, for your meat. When I went back to the Ayatollah, he was very grateful for it. He said, did you pray about it? I said, yes. He said, I told you so. When an Ayatollah tells you to pray, you do. Now, for all of you, every one of you has a need at the moment. You need God to answer and bring you his solution. And I know there's quite a lot of people here, but God's very good at dealing with quite a few people. Stop. Pray. Now. Tell him what you need. Right now. I'll stop for a few seconds, all right? And you ask him. Thank you, Lord, that you have answered our prayer. Thank you, Lord. We will see those prayers answered in the coming days and hours. Yes, Daniel heard the voice of the Lord to the king. And it wasn't all nice. It wasn't, oh, it's going to be lovely. Babylon is going to be great. No, it was, you're going to be totally destroyed. You're going to be brought down. And Babylon will never again be restored. I've told you I go to Babylon regularly. Babylon is still in ruins. Sadan tried to rebuild it. The name of the king was on the stone, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Saddam Hussein. Well, he didn't get very far before he was brought down. Okay? So don't worry. God's in control. If you would like to know more of our story, buy my book. Whoever's selling my books today, I don't want you to sell them with any profits. Instead of $15 each, they'll be $10. All right? Bye.